inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to a special edition of Racing Pulse and a special edition of Friday Form Focus with the Shark, who has made the trip to beautiful Ballarat. How are you, Shark?
Michael, I'm very well. Look, just in the break there, I just got off the phone with Rachel Griffiths, and I think I'm going to drop a little spoiler here. I can announce officially that I will be playing you in the upcoming Ride Like a Girl movie.
Is it me as 50?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to have to put on a few kilos and grow some extra hair, but I've got the role, which is great. And, of course, the beauty of that is I can react that beautiful, passionate kiss that you had with your lovely wife, Jacqueline, in the mounting yard just as the horses cross the line. And I can also announce that Jennifer Hawkins will be playing the role of your wife. So I look forward to doing plenty of practice there with Jen.
Comparison.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
What have you been drinking on the way up here, Sharky?
Lots of coffee, Michael.
You got up very early.
You know, it doesn't go well with me.
I'm looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into both these meetings. But just quickly, overnight, finally, Winx has been officially rated the world's number one horse in
Stand
the Longines.
On her own
world
at the top?
Well, it's quite on her own.
You're not going to say
it's equal.
You're not
with
Gunrunner.
Gunrunner. Now, we know Gunrunner, who won the World Cup, they've both been ranked on 129, 5 points clear of West Coast.
What is the infatuation with dirt track horses?
So don't rate Gunrunner compared to Winx?
Is turf not the most widespread racing surface in the world? We can probably ask Matt Kamani that, because I'm just guessing. But I'm going to say it is.
Lucky enough, we've got Matt Kamani.
Oh, what a coincidence.
How are you, Matt?
Good, thanks, guys.
You've got more international racing pedigree than either of us. Winx, Gunrunner, world equal 129. What do you think about that? Should Winx be out on her own?
Well, I think it's very difficult to tell. I think they're probably fair rankings. They're likely to never meet, so we'll probably never know. And I think people, when they look at it, they understand that one's on the dirt and one's on the turf, and they sort of look at them in their own light, I think. And you can quite clearly call Winx the best turf horse in the world without having a go at Gunrunner by any chance.
What I was surprised is that Happy Clapper is sitting number fourth on 121 with an equal rating for Redkirk Warriors winning the Lightning.
Well, yeah, that is a bit strange. So these ratings I just find completely strange. Well, it doesn't seem to be based on anything other than the fact that a few handicappers get together and say, I reckon 121, or I reckon 120, or why don't we say 120? Well, that's about as technical as it gets.
Greg Carpenter's listening, careful.
Yeah, Greg knows. He knows.
Hey, Matty, thank you for taking time to join us on your home deck here. Looking forward to a couple of runners of yours at Flemington tomorrow. You've got two going around in race six. You've got Archery Peak, and you've also got a nice up-and-coming young stayer who bolted in last start, and I speak of Condamine. Who's your number one pick out of the two?
Well, I think Condamine's a bit more consistent. He's a horse that you can put your faith in, whereas Archery Peak can throw in some absolutely shocking runs. He's a horse that's not particularly
What happened last time?
Well, he's not particularly well coordinated, and it's not ideal for an athlete
at all.
Does
he trip over all the time?
Well, if you watch him walk or trot, he's a bit sort of all over the place, and if anything knocks him, if he has to be asked to accelerate quickly from a standing start, like coming out of the barriers, or if he gets knocked as he's trying to come around the field that last start, particularly on a pace that's increasing, he just can't cope and he sort of half gives up. But Condamine's much more consistent, he's tougher, he's got a bit more mental stability as well. And so he would, but that's factored into the value of the respective prices.
Gee whiz. Well, do you want to be with the Yunko Galloper Sharky?
I'm just putting a line through
Archery Peak. Probably reminds you of your young football days.
Yes, it does actually. Just a bit goofy getting around. That Condamine sounds like the pick from the stable there.
And a little bit later in the day, you've got a nice sprinter going around who's probably stepping up in class. Do you give him any chance of maybe causing an upset?
She's a lovely filly.
Fielder Charlie.
Yeah, she's tough, and it's great for Domaine Thoroughbreds to have a run on a big day like that. And I think we're trying to make the most of this incentive, these big handicaps, where they're trying to go back slightly to the old handicap days where you'd get big spreads in the weights, and we're sort of making the most of that. She's carrying about 5 kilos less than anything else. She will find it tough, 1,200 metres for her is tough enough as it is, particularly down the straight at Flemington. But, you know, she's in there with a, hopefully a good chance at the weights. It is a handicap after all, they're meant to finish in a line together.
$150,000, these handicap races have been great for competitive racing. Just quickly, you and Sharky are going to go head-to-head next week at the Mornington Cup. You've got Edith James v... Kingswell Dream.
Well, he certainly looks like a very tough horse to beat. A bit of a jump from 18 to 24, but I'm sure the horse will handle that. I'm hoping that Etta James and her style, if we can get a good barrier, she can roll out in front. And at Mornington, it's a bit harder to come from behind, and with a little bit of bad luck on their part and a bit of good luck on our part.
You're not conceding, are you?
Not at all, no. Etta's tough as old boots, and she's getting better and better. I don't think I've had her fully fit for a single one of her starts. The deeper she gets into a prep, the better she gets. But this will be her last run, and hopefully we'll have a nice spring with her.
I do love Etta James. I think I've been the head of the cheerleading, social media cheerleading component for Etta James. So it's going to break my heart when Kingswell Dream just breezes past her. But look, there are more group races in store for her. I think you'll get her to a major cup during the spring.
I hope so. Hope you're right.
Maddie, thanks for taking the time to join us. You're going to tag in your fellow trainer up here at Ballarat, Archie Alexander. Good luck tomorrow, Maddie.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And Chuck, just quickly while we're changing over, news this morning, they decided not to put Chautauqua through the jump out at Flemington. He's going to go and trial at Cranbourne on Monday.
Yeah, that's... Well, you think you go to a jump out or a trial, either one. Cranbourne, you're probably going to go to the officials at some point. Might as well be Monday. The track should be in really good condition. They haven't had a lot of rain lately, but I know that they've been getting a good amount of irrigation on, so you'll get a really good surface there. A few more horses around, a bit more like race day conditions, perhaps, rather than going from a stable straight over to the barriers for Flemington. So perhaps that's what they're trying to emulate there, but hopefully the big grey champ can get back on track.
Yeah, let's hope so. First up in the TJ, if all goes well, is the aim for Chautauqua. Great to see Archie Alexander. How are you, Archie?
Michael, good, thanks. Sharky.
Archie.
Morning. Gee, your stable's been going in red-hot form lately. How'd Lord Fandango come through the cup last week?
Yeah, very good. It was obviously going to be tough for him on weights when you look at what he's rated and what he was carrying against Group 1 winners. So dropping back into handicap grade in the future will be really exciting.
Where's he go now?
He goes to the Mannion, which is a week Saturday, and then he'll have a couple of weeks off, and then all being well, go to the Sydney Cup.
Terrific preparation for the horse, considering how quickly he rose through the ranks during the spring, and it's great to see that that improvement wasn't a fluke because he's returned right back where he's supposed to be.
It always worries you, doesn't it, when horses are in good form, they go out for a spell, and then you think, Christ, are they going to come back to be as good as they were? But we're beaten 2.3 lengths in a Group 1 on level weights, and once he gets into the Sydney Cup, he's got 51.5. And providing it doesn't get ridiculously heavy, which Sydney can, I'd be really confident. Heavy would worry me, but the horse is in great form. He's actually pulled up a very good, and he's definitely improved for the run.
You seem excited. Is he the best horse you've had anything to do with?
As a trainer, definitely. You know, fourth in a Group 1 for a young trainer. That was a super run, and yeah, he's definitely the best horse I've ever trained, but had anything to do with, sadly not. I wish I had one as good as I've been around. So You Think, Camelot, horses like that. So yeah, so he's not quite up to So You Think yet. Yeah,
exactly. $11 second favourite currently for the Sydney Cup.
He's already on. He's already on. There's no doubt about that. Will Leisure tracked in suit last week.
Yeah, just wasn't really her day, and she's pulled up really well, so horses can put in bad ones, so we're just drawing a line through it and pushing on to Albury Cup a week tomorrow.
Let's get a winner for tonight. The punters out there are screaming out for a winner at Moonee Valley, and you've got El Rada, who the money was on, and it was right first up here at Ballarat. How's she come on from that?
Yep, very good. Couldn't fault her tonight. She's well drawn. Got a bit of weight, but they're all quite the sort of tightly weighted, so hopefully we'll get a good run just behind the speed or on the speed. And she can be good enough tonight.
Confident?
Yeah, I mean, we're quietly confident. I think there's three or four others in there with good chances, but I couldn't give you a negative anyway. She's only got positives, but there's probably a few others with positives as well. So hopefully we can be good enough.
All right, we'll be cheering you. Good luck tonight, Archie, and good luck next week and the coming weeks with your stable star, Lord Fandango, heading towards the Sydney Cup as well.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Archie Alexander, you're listening to a special edition of Racing Pulse. We're live from Ballarat. We're going to take a quick break on the other side of this. We're going to have a look at tonight's Moonee Valley meeting and the Blamey Stakes meeting at Flemington. Huge weekend of racing, which kicks off with a stellar meeting tonight at Moonee Valley. Shark, the feature is the Alistair Clark Stakes. Cliff's Edge was $2.50 earlier in the week, but $1.60, is that right? Fix, that can't be right. I'm just looking up on the TAB website right now. It's been a race where Weary's odds onies have been beaten in recent years. Palantino got done, so did Stratum Star. Is it a put-in takeout tonight, or is there any question mark about Cliff's Edge?
Oh, he should probably win the race. If you've missed the price, I wouldn't go all FOMO about it now at $1.60. Just, you know, taking one out in a quaddie or something like that. $2.50 earlier in the week was absolutely ridiculous. That didn't last long. Hung around $2 for a while, though, which was a bit of a surprise because there's not a great deal of speed in this race. You'd imagine that Jamie Mott just jumps, put the horse in a great spot leading from barrier four and should be able to control the race and do as he pleases. He's got the best form in the race. Hasn't been able to land a group one, but he's been highly effective around that group two, group three level. Yeah, he's clearly the top pick. I'd be a little bit surprised if he wasn't able to win, and that's factoring in, I guess, the stable's ordinary record with short ones in previous years, but this is a different horse, a different year, and no reason why he shouldn't get the job done.
I can't believe he's $1.60. It is the one to beat, Cliff's Edge, in the Alistair Clark. The other feature tonight is the Abel Stakes, and this is a little bit more wide open. Again, Weary's going to have a big hand. We're going to speak to Weary very, very soon too, punters, so we'll give you the latest insight there. What do you do with Weary's first uppers, Whispering Brook and Land of Plenty?
Land of Plenty is a very, very good talent. He could easily win this race with something in hand. He gets a run here. He was an emergency as well for Flemington tomorrow, but this looks just a suitable race for him. Very, very hard to beat. Actually quite like Ben's number 11 coming over from Adelaide. Didn't have a lot of luck behind another Weir runner in Stellar Collision at Morfordville last time. He's got a good record here at Moonee Valley. He handles the track. The distance is ideal. I think at an each-way price, he's a really good option in the race, number 11, Benz.
All right, that's $8. Benz, $5 equal favourites at this stage for Whispering Brook and Land of Plenty. Anything else at the Valley that you like? I thought Ashlaw was an interesting runner this evening as well.
Well, there's another shorty. He's in the last race, but he probably brings me home in the quaddie one out. Number 13, Mogul Empire. Will Clarkin's team is airborne in Adelaide at the moment. Mogul Empire was a decent debut, you could say, back in January. Returned at Gawler, won by 8 lengths going forward, controlling the race over 1,500 metres. I think he'll be forward again tonight for Andrew Mallion. And if he repeats that effort and runs the sort of times that he did in that race, he should be winning again.
Well, he's a $2.30 pop, so it could be a skinny quaddie tonight at the Valley.
I think it might be.
Well, let's hope that they all get home.
Multiple units. You don't know how you like to play.
Build the bank for tomorrow's meeting at headquarters. We've spoken about it during the week, and it's something that no doubt will be looked at by Racing Victoria and the VRC, but disappointing we're only going to have 5 runners go around in the Blamey. We've seen small fields in recent years in this race, haven't we?
We talked about this a little last week, didn't we, with the Super Saturday aspect and the want to spread, you know, 2 weeks of racing, and it just dilutes the quality. And the Blamey now falls into a bit of a strange part as far as the plan is concerned. Dean Lester talked about it this morning with the Brekkie Club boys. I tend to agree. I don't think this is the right place for the Blamey. It's a 1,600-metre Group 2. Why not have it as a lead-up towards the Australian Cup? Well, seems to make sense.
We're lucky enough to be doing another live broadcast from the track tomorrow morning from 10:30. We'll have a chat
about that. That was very enjoyable too last week.
Tomorrow's going to be interesting because Dwayne Dunn nailed the track and the bias that he thought would be there at 11:15. We're going to have another chat to him walking the track. Peter Ellis, who is the guru of track walkers, we'll have a chat to him after he walks the track as well. Plus a host of trainers and jockeys that will join us throughout the morning. So make sure you tune in from 10:30.
I will.
Let's get to the first tomorrow because this kicks off the Flemington meeting. And hear the chant. David Hayes tipped this to us on Monday. I said, give me one for the week. And he said, the way Hear the Chants just work, I really like her. Looking forward to the weekend. Gee, Quilista was good in an Oakley plate, though.
Yeah, she was good. Well handled. She never really looked a winning threat, but was back towards that inside section, stayed on well. Horses were having a little bit of difficulty making ground out wide, so, you know, arguably she was in the best part of the track and was able just to maintain and hold a line sort of 2.5 lengths from the winner. Before that, a little bit stiff, perhaps, over 9.55 at this track. There is not a lot between Quilista, Hear the Chant, and a horse down towards the bottom, number 7, Written Era. They're all around that listed Group 3 range if they strike the right sort of mares, Group 3. So it comes down to really who you think is going to get the best run and what price you're prepared to take. Interesting, they're all kind of drawn.
Seven.
Yeah, and they're all drawn back towards the inside, those three horses, Quilista in 4, Hear the Chant 2, Written Era in 3. I just thought the way Damien Oliver's riding at the moment, Written Era first up at a good each-way quote. She was the way I wanted to go, but the other two, Quilista and Hear the Chant, very, very hard to beat with Hear the Chant first up, and she did the right thing by us. So no reason to jump off her if you backed her there and liked her.
Well, she's $2.70, Quilista $3.10. You're out to $8.50.
Yeah, I'd take $8.50 each way.
$8.50 each way? Mm. All right. Well, French Emotion's the other one that we haven't spoken about. Written Ear is $10.850 for Go Down. French Emotion, $6. Dino made it one of his best of the day.
Classy horse, only beaten 2 lengths in a Group 1 at its last start. Pretty well treated at the weights too, with only 2 kegs above the minimum. So I'm not sure if straight track racing will suit her, but hey, we'll find out tomorrow, won't we?
How do you think the track will play? Rail out 7, or is it you got no idea? We'll just wait and
see. I think we'll see a correction from last week. It'll probably be back to the reliable Flemington that we come to know and love in recent years, punting, and straight track runners will probably be towards that middle outside like we've gotten used to in the last sort of 12 months.
Race 2 is over the 1,400 metres. Sanctioned is Scratching Scarecrow's the favourite at $3.50. Iconoclasm has been well backed at $4.40. Murahib $7. And $5.50 for Holbein are the market leaders.
Again, not a lot between this group of horses. Scarecrow, last start winner, got the job done well here at this track, beating quite a few of these. Does get up a little bit in the weights, though, for this. He's up 2.5 kegs for that win. Let's find out if, you know, he's good enough to carry that extra weight, give the others a bit of a head start at the handicap and still beat them. I would be prepared to maybe take him on a bit here. With Murahib, who gets his chance to turn things around, he meets Scarecrow 2 kegs better on a really good run last week. He's a funny horse, Murahib. I think he's a bit of a thinker. He needs everything to go right. He's probably better when he gets to the outside of runners to make his run. He was able to do that last start. Wasn't able to do that at Caulfield beforehand. I'm with him each way to cause a little upset. And my best roughie of the day is in this race. Number 11, She's Dashing. Should have probably won at Moonee Valley last start and a slowly run sprint home. Got held up from the 400. She's probably heading towards those South Australian Oaks type races, maybe even a Vinery if she can really go boom and come out here and surprise. But throw her in your tries and first fours, she'll go very well.
She's a $16 pop, so that's nice for the punters out there.
There you go, she's been back this morning because she was about $26 or $34 last night I was taking. So
she was really keen on Iconoclasm. I thought
good horse.
This is a promising horse.
Yeah, nice horse. Easy win at our rat. Missed the start last week at Morfordville and still was able to rally through, get somewhere towards the front, kick through and win. It was a nice effort. This is harder again. You're probably taking rock bottom odds given it's a weir horse that's won its last two.
Race number 3, we've got a short price favourite here, Demerara, who showed her class winning at Moonee Valley last start. She's got a really good record, 4 wins from 6 starts and a third placing. $2.30, is that getting in
short enough?
A bit tight?
Yeah, look, she's a very, very talented filly. I want to see her again down the straight. I wasn't entirely convinced when she appeared in the Red Roses at the back end of the Flemington Carnival in the spring. The Moonee Valley one was excellent. This is probably a little bit of a tougher race, but she does get that weight relief from what was a benchmark 78 last time. I thought if Lukia, number 6, runs to its Captain Teebs run in the spring, mid-September last year, when she came flying home behind Fox Swift's Split Lip, there was some more right sort of listed Group 3 form out of that race. I thought she was a big price here, again, at an each-way quote. Demerara's got to be your top pick, but from a betting point of view, I'd much rather take, what, $11 or $12 look ya each way.
$14.
Well, there you go. Oliver's on. Outside barrier. She's going to be coming home strongly. Recent Flemington jump out was very good. I'd be playing there each way.
What do you do with limestone? It was like she lost a leg, and that's how she raced first up.
Pass,
with the market moves.
Pass for me until she turns things around. You look at her fourth in the Coolmore Stone, you think, Shark, you're off your head. Maybe you have been drinking this morning, but that's Group 1 form. She's coming off a fifth in a benchmark 78 back to fillies here. I just didn't see enough there at Moonee Valley. I'm not saying she can't win, but I could not back her off that Moonee Valley run.
Time awaits first up.
Yeah, nice horse. Again, has trialled well at Cranbourne, looked pretty good there, pretty fluent. Already a two-time stakes winner. It is a deep race. Therefore, I think Demerara at 2:30 is just a bit opposable.
Even a couple down the bottom, that Moe Rose.
Moe Rose is
a nice
filly.
Win on debut.
Yeah,
don't
and
know what
had
happened.
A quiet trial there recently.
$21.
So Cool the Spirit's another one that trialled well in that Cranbourne heat. Didn't have the best of luck at Moonee Valley behind Tulip last time. There are a lot of chances here.
So, just recap your...
Lookia's the horse I'd be backing there.
Lookia each way.
Yep.
Favourite, hard to beat, but maybe
very
a bit unders at the moment. Race number four is the Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, Thoroughbred Breeders Stakes, and small field, but classy field, as you'd expect for $150,000. Colossus getting in tight too now, $2.20. I know that's pretty good form, chasing home Prairie Fire. What do you make of it?
I think Colossus can win the race. I'm going to play an exacta pretty hard here. Numbers 2 and 3, box those two. I think they're both very good fillies. Colossus, I'm leaning to it because it's probably had the easier lead into this race. Came home really well there at Flemington, when a favourite beaten by Prairie Fire, who then went and ran fourth in the Blue Diamond. That's pretty good form. Metronome, on the other hand, was a bit of a sitting duck at Moonee Valley. Its first run beaten by Sanctimonious, who's a nice horse. Three wide on the speed there last start, and just kept going. Mm. She is a really smart filly. Just wondering what that run may have taken out of her. I still think she's good enough to run top two here. Just leant towards Kulasa in the race.
$5.50 Metronome.
It's a good price, Metronome.
Krona was very impressive last to first, winning in Morgan with Cinderella. Do you think it's a run below?
I want to test the depth of that form here. I think Colossus is a better horse. I think Metronome's a better horse. I think it was an okay listed race in Adelaide, but she may well prove me wrong.
All right, they are the first four races down at headquarters. We're going to take a short break on the other side of this. We're going to have a chat to Darren Weir. We're going to look at the Blamey and the Quaddy. Welcome back to a special edition of Racing Pulse, live from the Ballarat Racecourse for the Ride Like a Movie, which a big announcement will be made. I'm going to let listeners in on a secret, because I believe that big announcement is that Brad Pitt was the closest likeness to Darren Weir, and that's who will be playing him in the movie. Weary joins me now. Are you happy with that, Weary?
I don't know about that, but anyway.
Take it, Weary.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, the way you'll... stable is going at the moment, Brad Pitt couldn't even play you, because you are on fire and you have got so many horses over the weekend. First of all, I'm keen to get your thoughts on your runner tonight, which should just win, according to punters and bookmakers. $1.60 now, Cliff's Edge and the Alistair Clark. Is he $1.60 chance, Weary?
Look, the thing that sticks in the back of our mind, and I'm sure it sticks in the back of Johnny's mind as well, is he did have bloody hard run, you know, in the Guineas, you know, and we're just hoping that it hasn't affected him or flattened him. All the signs are fine at home, so we're hopeful anyway. But $1.60 is a bit too short for me.
What about the rest of the program at the Valley tonight, Darren? Would it be your best there?
Divine Command's going well. She's due for a little bit of luck. She's racing really well. Obviously, Scoliaro won well last start. So they're in there right sort of race. And I'm really looking forward to see Land of Plenty and Whispering Brook run. They're just a couple of new horses to the stable, but they've both got really good ability and they're both in great shape for the future. So it'd be interesting to see how they go.
They are very nice horses to join the stable. Have you got a leaning in that race to either or?
I would have to probably say Whispering Brooks just been working really well at home. And Land of Plenty has too, but I think there's a bit more to come with Land of Plenty. But Whispering Brooks has been working really well. And Simon Miller said that normally when she works well at home, she takes that to the races. So if she takes her work to the races, she's going to be very competitive.
All right, that's a nice lead for punters tonight. Tomorrow, Darren, the Blamey Stakes, only five runners, and your two Group 1 gallopers dominate, Tosem Stardom and Humidor. Five runners, is that going to be a positive or a negative for your two?
I would say it would have to be a negative for Humidor because he's going to be obviously back, and a lot of it, I guess it'll be tempo-related, I guess. And Toss and Stardom, I think I can't see it being a problem for him because he probably just lands in a nice spot and hopefully they both get their chance. They're both in great shape, but I guess if you wanted the ideal situation, you'd rather a bit bigger field.
Looking beyond tomorrow's race, what are the sort of next goals for these two horses? Humidor looked a little big first up in the Futurity, so you've obviously got him ready to peak for Sydney, but Tosem Stardom goes that way too. Are they both Queen Elizabeth horses?
Yeah, they're both on the same path, and that's obviously why they're both running in this race today. Obviously, with Tosem Stardom, we sort of had the Australian Cup in the back of our mind early on, but then things went a bit pear-shaped his first run, so then we changed path and went down this route, and that's to run tomorrow 2 weeks into the Doncaster and then back up in the Queen Elizabeth, and that's with both horses.
Tough question, Weary. They've both got designs on being the second best horse in Australia behind Winx. Who do you think is the better horse?
Geez, it is a tough question. One's just Humidor's, you know, he's been a good horse from sort of day one, but I guess some of the things that we see at home with Tosem Stardom, he's an exceptional horse on his day. So I guess if they both turned up and both went to the best of their ability, I reckon you'd see something pretty special, from Tosem Stardom, because he's a pretty high-class galloper when things go right. So probably lean towards him.
All right. A quick one on some of your other runners. Callisto, you must have been wrapped with a run in the Oakley Plate.
Yeah, she ran well. She ran great, had every chance. Just wasn't good enough, but wasn't far away from him. Yeah, happy to have her in that race tomorrow. She's in good shape.
What about Crone? A last start stakes winner in Adelaide goes up a notch here into a pretty solid fillies race.
Yeah, it is a good race, she showed us plenty at home. Obviously, went to Bendigo her second start, and we thought she would win, and she ran a battling third, but it's been a pretty good form race that. So then she went to Adelaide and won well. I guess the straights are a little unknown, but she's a nice filly.
Do we forgive Limestone?
Yeah, definitely forgive Limestone. She's just her best form's at Flemington, so hopefully she can bounce back tomorrow.
And Handsome Thief in the last. He's drawn again, maybe awkwardly from Barrier 4. How well's he going?
He's going well. It is a bit tricky, I reckon, Barrier 4. So, he's obviously had his chance to win a couple of races and hasn't won, so we're hoping he's in good shape, so hoping he can get a bit of luck go his way, but more hoping than thinking.
Got a text message saying, got to ask about Kawhi. Can it win first up?
Oh, I'd be surprised if he could, but the commentators will see the difference in him in the yard, because he used to be a pretty plain-looking sort of horse in the yard. You know, last preparation, he got to pretty light and pretty lean sort of looking. But, gee, this time in, he's really furnished into a big, strong horse. So I'd be surprised if he could win first up, but he'll be definitely winning something down the track.
Oh, it's going to be a huge weekend, Darren. If you were down to your last 10 bucks, which one are you backing?
I'd probably back Iconoclasm each way.
One we don't ask about is always the best one. Good on you, Weary. Good luck over the weekend.
No worries. See ya.
Gee whiz, the stable is absolutely flying. I like him. I like Iconoclasm. So that's given me a lot of confidence. All right, let's get into the Blamey.
Oh.
That's great insight from Darren. He is on toast and stardom.
Yes.
You don't think he can win?
I don't. It's not that I don't think he can win. I just think Humidor can beat him. And there's not a lot between them in the market. It's probably not a race I want to bet in. For the sake of a tip, yeah, Humidor. Why not? I thought his run in the Futurity was fantastic. He looked like, well, he looked like you after a Christmas holiday, really. Like, it's just carrying an extra bit of pudding just around the waistline. But I expect he would have trimmed down noticeably coming into this race.
You're a bit of a weightist, you are. Humidor, $2.30, $2.20 toast and start, and Hell of a Street out to $8. Is there any possible way there can be an upset?
No.
Hell of a Street lead?
No, not good enough.
Space Job, toast and Humidor,
yeah.
Then the rest.
Yeah. Right. Look for Odeon. I'd be following him out of this race. I think he'd be ready third up.
Humidor on top for Sharky, toast and stardom. Darren Weir likes the stable mate, toast and stardom, to beat Humidor. Let's get into the quaddy. The first leg is the Singapore Turf Club Trophy. Now, this is a bit more of an open race, so, although Cullingworth is into $2.20 now.
What?
No, sorry, that's the place. I'm looking at the wrong...
I nearly fell off my chair.
Goodness gracious.
But he's got a chance for
he's $5.50. He excels $5 as a favourite. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? And Condamine, who was given a really good push by Matty Kamani earlier, is at $7.50.
I really like a blinkered Addison in this race, number 7. I think she's got a terrific chance in the race. She was going well before that last start in Adelaide. I just thought she was probably put off the game a little bit by Jim's Journey pushing out underneath her and just really hassling her for as they started turning into the straight from about the 500 metres. He's a bigger horse than Addison, and he was really shoving his weight around there and trying to get out into clear running. I don't think she would have enjoyed that. Once she balanced up, she did get to the line okay. That run and the run prior, about 4 weeks earlier at Flemington, just started thinking, you know, maybe they'll put the blinkers on at some point here. They didn't do it last time. They do it here. Good gate to be peeling out into that running line at the top of the straight where she can wind up and really hit the line. I thought at each way odds, she was a really good bet in this race. As far as the quaddy is concerned...
This looks wide for mine. How many are you putting in?
No, I'm going to go short. I think Cullingworth, they've been taking a sit on this horse. If you look at his form in the UK, it's best when he's able to lead and dictate. He hasn't got much of a turn of foot. We've seen that when gaps have appeared in recent runs, and he hasn't been able to be quick enough to go through them. I think they might lead with Ethan Brown from gate one, or sit off, he excels. Quaddy numbers will be 3, Cullingworth, 5, Sherlock Holmes, 7, Addison, and what was the other one I had in there?
Well, you've left he excels out before.
Yeah, leaving that out. 3, 5, 7, and 12. I like Matty Kamani's thing there. Condamine. Well drawn to get a good run and just keeps improving.
All right, you're potting the favourite. He excels in the first leg of the quaddy. Sharks numbers are 3,
Be brave.
5, 7, and 12. The second leg of the quaddy is at race number 6. Now, this is the March Stakes. Interesting race. A lot of people are going to be on the answer, my friend, here. I'm a little concerned about Glue on Shoes first time, should we?
No, I'm not really. If it were bar plates, then I'd be concerned. Glue on Shoes, meh. Maybe his feet are just, you know, maybe a little bit soft at this time of year. The tracks have been very hard. You've got to keep that in mind. We haven't had rain in a lot of these tracks for, you know, upwards of 40 days. So the tracks have been firm.
If he shows the form he has previously, he should just about win, shouldn't he?
Yeah. Like, I was looking for a reason not to back the horse. First up, he's had 4 goes and he hasn't won. But then you counter that against his form, not only at the track and distance, but at the distance overall. He is a very, very good 1,400-metre horse. The Cranbourne Barrier Trial win was super strong. Mark Zara sticks. Henry Dwyer's clearly got this horse going as well as he has previously for Rob Smurden, which is a good thing. I think the horse can win. There are a few that you want to be taking in the quaddy, though. 2, 5, 7, and 8.
Mask of Time.
Yeah.
He's the query, isn't he? Like,
yeah, he is. He's a
very
good
horse.
First
Australian run, finishing 4th in the Group 1 Toorak.
Yeah, well, we were stoked for that effort, you know, the
well,
owners were very,
you're involved,
very happy
here, aren't you?
Yeah, we might have had a hand in getting him over. They were very, very pleased with that run. He's working well towards this. If he can run well, or he probably has to win to warrant it, but he could be heading up towards a Doncaster or something like that. But he'd probably need to win and win well. But there'll be,
don't give me the
there'll be Group 2 and Group 3 races
around. Don't give me the fluff. Don't give me the fluff. You're involved in this horse. He's 16 into 12 now, and he'll probably keep firming. Does the stable?
Well, you're going to have someone.
Does the stable? Does the stable think he'll win?
He's going well,
so that's a yes.
But he will improve. No, they haven't. No one said. Hang on, don't put words in my mouth. I know you like to. No one has come out and said the horse will win. Nobody. He'll run a nice race, but he should. He's a group class galloper in a handicap race, as is the answer, my friend.
All right. What about Overshare? Do you think he's under the odds?
No, leave him out. 440? Yep. Risking him. No Overshare in the quaddie for me.
Potting the favourite there. Give us your numbers in the second leg again.
I am putting in numbers 2, 5, 7 and 8.
2, 5, 7 and 8.
We like Sovereign Nation. Sovereign Nation. He must go in back to it.
No Nozomi?
Nope.
5, Windspell.
Windspell, yep.
The 7, Mask of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Who Shark thinks secretly is immoral but won't tell us. And the 8, the answer, my friend. All right, let's get on to race number 8 now, which is the next leg. And this is the Curra Racecourse. Now, I think tomorrow's St. Paddy's Day. This is the Curra Racecourse race. And in this race, there is an Irish connection, which I've just totally lost. I will come back to it.
I've already, the abuse on social media has already started, by the way, so that's great. And I'm going to Flemington tomorrow, so if that horse does get beaten, it's going to be fantastic. I look forward to copying all the abuse. Thanks, Michael.
That's right. You've got to be honest with the listeners. That's the number one rule on this program. Top of the range looks like a really smart horse. $4.40. Gee, I loved his last 100 metres. Portman, $5.50. Do we just rule a line through last week because the way the track played, I still thought was disappointing.
Yeah, the way the track played, you have to forgive anything that's gone on it. I'm a little bit surprised to see him backing up here. A couple of weeks between runs, and yeah, I'd probably be a bit more confident. He's in there with a good winning chance. Top of the range, I agree. Really nice horse on the up. He's got good ability. That was a great win at Caulfield. Step up in class again. He was pretty well backed late in that race, which is a good sign. I'm with the two European imports here, number 1, Naval Warfare, and number 4, Powwow. I noticed a little bit of discussion around the place that Naval Warfare's last jump out was ordinary and he was hard-ridden and tailed off. It's not the case. He did come off the bit, but the winner of that trial went out at a very strong gallop. I don't think they were expecting that with Naval Warfare. He did get a little bit of a wake-up at the top of the straight, but he did pick up well late, and I thought he was good through the line. His previous jump out, I thought, was very good. Mm. I would not be surprised if this horse won the race.
What's his international form like?
Okay.
Yeah.
Handicap form. He mixed his form a bit. Early in his three-year-old career, he showed a good deal of talent. Then he kind of went off the boil for a couple of runs. He got a nice win at Newmarket when he was back to a dominant level of form. If he turns up at that level, he can go quite well here. Worth noting as well in that race that he did give a couple weight in that Newmarket race and still won. Powwow is a different style of horse, more of a mile and a half horse, but he has looked quite sharp in a couple of Flemington jump outs. So I'm just thinking that gelding and settling into Australia.
You're going to throw both internationals in to be safe.
100%. Yeah, and I'll be having something on them both as well.
$9 Naval Warfare, $14 for Powwow.
Yeah, just a little nibble.
Outside of those, Soho Ruby was really good last start in the Francis Tressity. How many are you putting in the quaddie?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Naval Warfare, Portman, Top of the Range, and Soho Ruby.
You got it.
No Abyssinian?
Nice horse. I think this is a little bit beyond her at this point of the game, though.
All right, let's get to the last at fabulous Flemington. And this is going to be a wide-open race as well. Milwaukee, we spoke to Mike Moraney earlier in the week. Gives it a good chance first up, $10. Handsome Thief, $5. I must say, he was only lukewarm, the vibometer with Darren Weir.
Handsome vibometer?
Thief, drawn for $5.
That's a new one.
Board to Gain, Matty Stewart loves that one. Highland Beaks, $8.50. Sacred Sham, $9.50. And if we go down the bottom, Land of Plenty, who, by all reports, is going to run tonight at the Valley, so you'll be able to take that out. So what are you doing in the last?
So what you do tonight, if you're going to have a bet in the last, you get a dartboard, and you write all these horses' names down on a piece of paper, and you stick them around the dartboard. Then you put a blindfold on, spin to the left 3 times, spin to the right 3 times, face east, lob a dart at the thing, and that's the horse you're going to back.
So not for the first time, you've got no idea.
I don't think anyone has any idea. Do you have any idea about this race? I don't think Dean Lester had any idea about this race. I don't think God knows who's going to win this race.
All right, well, give us your number. It's an F, is it?
I'm backing number 12, Essence of Terror, because I'm a thrill seeker. I don't like roller coasters or bungee jumping or skydiving. I like my feet on the ground when I have a bit of an adrenaline rush. So we're going to have a play in an impossible race. That's what we're going to do. Haven't I got a sad life? 3 kids and this is how I get my thrills. Good, isn't it? Driving to Ballarat at 4 a.m.
And this has been the highlight
to you about Essence of Terror.
This has been the highlight of your month. Now, give us your numbers, please, in the last 10. How many are you going to put
Essence of Terror each way. If they ride her, Steph Thornton, I know she's an avid listener to your program, big, big fan of yours. I hope she rides Essence of Terror quietly, because if she does, the horse will finish off really, really well. It's been on speed 2 runs prior to that Flemington placing last start behind Hear the Chant. I think that's the way to ride her.
Inside, Steph, outside, or all as a clump down the straight?
Outside, I think. Outside. Now, you ready for the the quaddy numbers? You're going to need a long piece of paper. 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 12, 13, and 15.
1, Milwaukee. 2, Blue Tycoon. 4, Handsome Thief. 5, Costello. 7, Highland Beat. 10, Sacred Sham. 12, Essence of Terror, his number one selection. 13, Galaxy Raider. And 15, Steel
and you know what?
Of Madrid.
There's no guarantee we'll get it.
No, there's no guarantee we'll be alive coming to the last either show. Let's have a quick look at Rose Hill, because the Group 1 Coolmore Classic's a wide open race.
Oh, it is.
I think five of the top six that went around in it last year going around once again, including Silence Edition, Dixie Blossom, Daisy Doom, and the winner Heavens Above, looking for two in a row. Oregon's Dream, $16. Dino gave it a really good push this
morning. Didn't he? And Mick Price gave us a very good push for that horse when it ran first up when we did the OB at Inglis. He was all over it, and he did say, very hard to beat. Second up, third up, she'd be near her peak. Second up into this race, just mixed words are ringing in my ears. I'm going to be really brave here and just take three in the quaddy. I'm going to take number 7, Egg Tart, who, Chris Waller said, didn't eat during the spring. She's eating now, and look at that run first up. Back to her best, Egg Tart. I've got her on top. I'm throwing in 8, Elise. Bit flat second up. Forgive that. She's a class filly. Has to give weight away to a couple of older horses here, but she's very, very good. And 18, Oregon's Day. 7, 8, and 18 will be the three that I include in my quaddy, and I'll be backing Egg Tart.
Got a lot of Victorians going up there. We've got Holy Snow going around in the far lap. Do you think that's a good race for Holy Snow?
Very nice race, as long as it doesn't get too far out of its ground from 10. I haven't quite worked out what I want to do in the far lap yet. And I think Shamook's short enough.
It is. The two-year-olds, Sunlight, $1.50, just wins?
She should win, and then she should go and win the slipper. Despite Performer deciding he wants to play yesterday with the blinkers on and trialling very, very well.
Well, we're going to get a line, because we're going to see Written By tomorrow as well, after the unfortunate situation during the week that they cancelled the jump outs or the trials and then moved it onto the Seabull grass. Graham Beg wasn't happy with that, so he is running tomorrow. Even money favourite.
I could oppose him. I am barracking so hard for the story, because I think Graham Beg's a great fellow and a good trainer.
You don't rate the Blue Diamond.
Jordan Childs would love to see him with a really big chance, unbeaten, going into a slipper. So I thought, I don't rate the Blue Diamond form. I just think a couple of these Sydney colts are unexposed. Ring-a-ding-ding is one of them. Roosevelt's another. Legislation is a very good horse. Didn't have a lot of luck in 2 runs early in the summer. I think it is a race where you could oppose the favourites.
Okay. What's your best of the day in Sydney?
Best of the day in Sydney, I will be backing Egg Tart.
Egg Tart. Okay. Tonight at the Valley, just recap for those who might have just joined us, your best?
Mogul Empire.
In the last
$2. Yeah, and bends each way in race 6.
And 30 cents. For those of you who are riding down Mick Sharkey's quaddy in the first leg, 3, 5, 7, 12, into 2, 5, 7, 8, into 1, 2, 3, 5, into 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 12, 13, 15. We'll tweet that out and put it up on the RSN website. Best of the day at Flemington, Shark.
I'm going to back 2 each way. Murahib in race 2 each way. And Addison in race 6 each way.
You've been doing well the last couple of weeks. You got, what was that long price winner you got last week?
Demonstrate in the well first. At $7. Redkirk Warrior at $7.50 wasn't banned.
All right. Good on you, Sharky. Thanks for making your trip out here to Ballarat, a special edition of Racing Pulse. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll have another special broadcast live from the Mounting Yard at Flemington.